This week on Embrace the Spoilers, we're spoiling Tomb Raider from 2018. And we'd like to warn you that there are spoilers and unfair comparisons to Indiana Jones ahead. Welcome back, everyone. This is Embrace the Spoilers for Tomb Raider 2018. I'm Garrett Weinzierl, and I'm sitting here as always with Jocelyn Moffitt. Welcome back, Joss.
Hello, hello.
Oh, Joss. Oh, this will be interesting. I have opinions about this movie.
I also have thoughts and opinions. If only we had a platform with which to express them.
I know. We should start a podcast or something. Oh shit!
That idea.
I'm in front of a microphone and it's recording. I guess we could just put this out. Anyway, so if you've been out of the loop, our patrons voted. So for the month of March, we are covering Tomb Raider. This is that episode, and we shall return next week to also spoil Pacific Rim 2. Giant robots beating the shit out of giant monsters. Can't wait. Yeah, that's my Pacific Rim 2 song. I just wrote it. You can use it. Go for it.
I was doing a super fancy dance. I know you guys can't see it because we're audio only, but it was a real fancy dance.
She's really
I'm
into
so excited
it.
For Pacific Rim 2.
Yeah. Yeah. She's really into it. Jocelyn, I'm going to expect you to do that at your wedding, because that's the next time I will see you with a dance floor in the same general location. So I expect
that's
to see
true.
That same dance. And I want to see Matt do it too, like in unison.
Matt doesn't dance.
Oh. that's my second favorite sequel to Cats Don't Dance.
Mats don't dance.
Exactly. Yep. Anyways, if you want to vote for future movies, we'll be putting up a poll very soon for next month. So check out patreon.com/ETS. That is the place to go to support this show. It's a monthly Patreon, not per episode. So if you are at the $5 a month, you can vote. If you're at $10 a month, you can suggest a topic to get added to that poll and also vote on it, because that's totally fine. That's you're allowed to suggest a topic and then vote for the same topic. We allow it. But yeah, anyways, today we are here to talk about Tomb Raider. No, not either of the ones with Angelina Jolie. We are talking about the new one from 2018. IMDb has this to say about the movie. It says, Laura Croft, the fiercely independent daughter of a missing adventurer, must push herself beyond her limits when she finds herself on the island where her father disappeared. And Joss, I brought my own synopsis with me today.
Okay.
And I just want to apologize to one of my favorite entertainment podcasts / filmcast, but I just could not help myself. So, Jocelyn, this past weekend, I watched a movie where the lead character is a bullheaded archaeologist trying to track down a mythological treasure. The search for this treasure consumed their father and led to his disappearance. The archaeologist has to fight their way through a bloodthirsty militant group that will stop at nothing to uncover the secret power of this lost artifact. Along the way, our hero discovers that their dad is alive and well before both are forced to help solve a series of traps on the villain's behalf. But enough about Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah, accurate.
It even had a falling floor trap. It had a falling floor trap.
It did.
It was like, they didn't even try, Jocelyn. They didn't even try.
And we'll get to that later, because I also have some tomb things to talk about, but we should probably start off with a little bit of just kind of overall thoughts before we jump right into the hate, because it wasn't a terrible movie. It was okay. It was pretty entertaining. Like I've seen worse.
That is my thought exactly. Like I can't. So let me paint a picture for you. This, you know, I knew I was going to have to see this movie, to do this show. I thought the trailers looked mediocre at best, didn't look that great. Not to mention that when this movie first got announced, we were gifted with that lovely poster of a horribly photoshopped broken giraffe neck on the lead character. If you haven't seen this poster, Jocelyn.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I had forgotten about that one.
Yeah, man. So my expectations were not high going in, and then the reviews started coming out, and I'm like, nope, not going to read them. But so many headlines showed up on my Twitter feed that I couldn't help but see that everyone was pretty
something.
Yeah, the consensus seemed to be like, that was the consensus, was that it's not a steaming pile, but it's also it hasn't saved the public opinion on the quality of video game movies.
Well, and okay, so here is my kind of thought on that, because the thing is, if you think about the original Tomb Raider movie from like the early 2000s, we had Angelina Jolie, and in order to adapt like what was existing in the Tomb Raider world, she had to have long brown hair, big boobs, wear a blue tank top, and raid some tombs. Like, she didn't have really big shoes to fill. But then if you think about this movie, Tomb Raider, it's literally based on a very popular, very good video game from, I can't remember.
2013 exactly is when the reboot came out.
2013, okay.
Yeah, it actually, so, I remember, I distinctly remember it being delayed.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got a really good video game that had, I mean, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what the playtime was, but let's call it like 15 to 20 hours to finish the main campaign. You have to smoosh all of that story, and it did have a very interesting, very well thought out and well fleshed out story with a lot of different characters. You got to cram all that into 2 hours. So I feel like this Tomb Raider movie, like, the expectations were just huge because it was an adaptation of a very popular, very story heavy video game. So to take that and smoosh it down, you got the same sort of problem as a lot of like book adaptations have, right? Or basically anything that's taking a really big body of work and putting it down into a movie, right? Because you've got 2 hours to tell a story that previously they were telling over a much, much longer period of time. So this is also why I tend to like TV adaptations better than movie adaptations, because if you have even 10 episodes of a show like Game of Thrones, you've got so much more space to flesh out your characters and tell your story. The 2 to 2.5 hour movie length is really kind of constricting in cases like this.
Yeah, I agree to a certain point. I definitely, like, if I would have thought you were just talking about the Warcraft movie, because that's how I feel about the Warcraft movies. That's just way too much to try to, as you always say, smoosh in to a feature length film. Whereas I kind of disagree on Tomb Raider. I like, yes, it's a long game. Oh, but so much of that is just fetch quests and shit that doesn't need to be in a movie.
Well, and that's true. I mean, obviously there's video game mechanics and stuff that do cut down that playtime. But I think just in general, there was so much more story in the 2013 version of Tomb Raider than there was in like original Tomb Raider.
Oh, God,
right?
Yes. Like,
yeah. When you're looking at video game adaptations, the original Tomb Raider movies didn't have that much to adapt. Whereas I think like this new version had so much story to work with, and they had to cut some corners and make some decisions that I think were probably the wrong ones, but they had a like almost too much to just cram into that space. And you're right, when you mentioned the Warcraft movie, that's obviously the one that's like the one of the most recent video game adaptations that I think we actually covered on an earlier episode of this show. Mm-hmm. And the Warcraft movie, I think, and Tomb Raider 2018 make the same mistake, is they basically tell an origin story when the stuff that happens later is so much cooler, right? Like,
yeah, to a certain degree. This movie had this really weird effect of making me remember how much I loved the 2013 Tomb Raider reboot. I loved that game. I did every side tomb. I never do side shit in games anymore. I'm old. I don't have time. I did every little side tomb in the 2013 release. And it also reminded me that I still had not played Rise of the Tomb Raider. So guess what I did yesterday? I drove out to Best Buy. I found myself a physical copy of Rise of the Tomb Raider, and I played through the beginning of it. And it also made me realize that not only did this movie cram too much in from the first game, it crammed in shit from the second game.
There was a little bit of stuff from the second game, but it was mostly from the first game. And I've played through the entire second game as well. And most of the stuff that they borrow is things from the first game.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if you can call it borrowing. Like, it's literally a remake of the game, like an adaptation of the video game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's just, I guess, like spoiler for the games, I guess, but like Trinity doesn't really get mentioned until the second game.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of like, I mean, maybe we should just jump into our dislikes, because that was one of my big dislikes, I think, of this entire movie, was that there was no kind of mystery about the bad guy. Like, the bad guy is literally introduced to you in the voiceover at the very beginning of the game, like, because that's why because it's like her dad is doing a voiceover talking about Himiko and talking about how he has to get there before Trinity. Like, that happens, like, right away. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of your dislikes was also, I don't know if I would call it a dislike, but I think Walton Goggins, who plays the villain in this movie, really, his character wasn't that great because they jumped right into the reveal of Trinity. And one of the kind of key things from the game in 2013 was that, you know, you're introduced to Walton Goggins' character of Matthias in the game. I can't remember what his name was or if his name was the same thing here, but Vogel. You're introduced to him and he's like pretending to be one of the shipwrecked survivors. So you don't even know he's the villain in the game right away. And here you're pretty much like slapped in the face with the fact that he's the villain. So I don't think that it was his fault that he was kind of a one-dimensional, flat, not that menacing villain. It just like it was the choice that they made to reveal Trinity right away, as opposed to, and even then, Goggins' character isn't supposed to be a part of Trinity, or at least that's not the way it's set up in the video game, right? Like, he is a cult leader worshiping Himiko, the goddess. Like, that's what his role is on this supposedly uninhabited that turns out to be inhabited island.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, my single biggest gripe with it is just the villain. It's a supremely boring villain. And I like, especially when we get into Trinity in the second game, I mean, they're kind of boring villains. It's just like a bunch of zealots trying to find artifacts and whatnot. That's, there's nothing interesting there. But I think the villains in the first game are very interesting. I think having this mm-hmm. idea of this group of people that used to live in modern times, but has just spent too damn long on this island and have developed their own completely insane religion.
Right. Yeah. The whole idea of the cultists was really, really interesting. And they kind of stripped that away completely. And I think the reason that they stripped all that away is because they also made it more, air quotes, realistic by stripping out all the magic, which I think is my single biggest gripe with the movie, is that they took Tomb Raider and took another big tentpole of the entire series, which is basically magic actually exists, and instead explained it away in a scientific fashion. Granted, I think that the science that they chose to explain Himiko was kind of interesting, but not interesting enough to carry the whole franchise. Like, it would have been so much cooler if the magic was there. So
yeah,
that stripping away of the magic kind of meant they had to strip away the cultists, meant that, you know, they had to turn the cultists into just like slaves who were shipwrecked who happened to be shipwrecked on the island and then enslaved by Trinity to try to find the entrance to this tomb. So all in all, like, the choice that they made to remove the actual magic, I think, is a huge mistake and makes me like really hesitant for the Tomb Raider movies going forward, assuming this even gets a sequel.
Yeah, it hasn't made a ton of money opening
No,
weekend.
It hasn't.
It was beaten out by Black Panther in its fifth week in the box office.
That being said, Black Panther was phenomenal, but
yes, it was. It was absolutely amazing. But yeah, no, I'm in the same boat. The whole movie, I'm like, all right, when are we getting our creepy zombie samurai? When are they coming? When are they showing up? Yeah. And they just never came. And then we got the reveal that it's a virus. And I'm like, oh, this is dumb. Oh, wait, that guy's infected. He might be a zombie samurai. No, he's just going to spit a little and die.
Yeah. And we did get one of them coming back from the dead, kind of zombie-ish, but then he was beaten pretty easily. And the thing is, like, and I guess they were locked down in the tube, but I was waiting for like all of the, because at one point they were talking about facing the army of the 1,000 handmaidens, and then all the handmaidens were just dead skeletons. Like, I was expecting that to be like the 1,000 crazy zombie women.
Yeah,
like
me
coming after them, and it was just like, nope, they just are laying there.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard that too, and I'm like, oh, cool, creepy nurses from Silent Hill. Let's do it again. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you retreaded that. Let's do it. That was great. Let's do it again. Oh, they're just dead. Okay.
Yeah.
And that type of, yeah, it's weird. I don't know. This whole time I couldn't shake the feeling that I was watching a cheap rendition of Indiana Jones, basically the whole movie. And then even when we got to the tomb, when they got to that kind of stuff, like, you can go one of two ways. If you'd kept the magic, then it's should be a lot more interesting because you could have had actual zombie handmaidens. But even the direction they went, it seemed like they went the the most boring possible way they could have taken that, because just in the way it's shot, like, think about, we watch the Indiana Jones movies, when they find a room full of corpses, there's terrifying close-ups, and like, there's even a scene where Laura is laying on top of a dead body, and it's like they're just going through the motion. Here is a shot from the side. It's not even a particularly interesting camera angle. There's no gross out factor. It was just A to B to C to D. And it just kind of bored me. As to what I did like, the beginning of this movie had a lot of promise. I don't love a lot of exposition right off the bat. So at the very, very beginning, when I'm just listening to McNulty from The Wire, who I did not know was British, start rambling on about everything we need to know about this movie, I was like, oh, damn it, just show me a flashback. but once we got to Laura in London, I thought it was great. I think it's a compliment and also kind of a gripe at the movie, but I think the best action scene in this entire movie is that bike chase. It is
shot.
Bike
chase. My stomach was like in my throat, like during that bike chase. Like it was intense and exciting and crazy. Like, and I love just the idea of like all these like bike messengers being like, "All right, let's spice this up." Like,
yeah. And I thought we were gonna get our kind of ensemble movie, which the game is. The game has an ensemble cast of varying degrees of awesomeness. Although, frankly, I like everyone in the original game.
Yeah, there's something like five or seven like main characters, because Laura is actually part of a research team, right?
Yeah, so she's like a gopher, basically.
Yeah, there's a whole, and in the movie version, it's just her and Daniel Wu, and I mean, I love him. He's drool worthy, and I'll watch anything with him in it. But like, it just, he was waiting outside the tomb for most of the movie. It was basically like, I feel like this movie was really split in half for me, where like the first hour and a bit I really enjoyed, and then the second hour and a bit was really kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
And so it was like, as soon as they got to the tomb, which is supposed to be like the most fun and exciting part, it's like you had Daniel Wu, your supporting character, just standing outside with a gun waiting for Laura and not really doing anything. And then you have the whole like linear design of the tomb, and that went on way too long. So I don't know, like but you're right. The first half was really great. I loved all the London scenes. That was so good. Yeah. And then even like, I also really enjoyed the scenes with her in, I guess it was in Japan, right? The scene where she gets her bag stolen and has to like chase the robbers like across all the fishing boats. I thought that was really cool too.
Yeah, it had a lot of moving. Both the bike chase and the dock chase had a lot of moving parts, which I think worked. I think the director, Roar Uthaug, whose name I'm butchering horribly, like he clearly knows how to shoot action. So I want to know what happened in the back half of this movie, because it doesn't show. I don't think there were enough moving parts at the end of this movie. This is kind of my biggest gripe with just the lack of a cast. Like at the very beginning, I thought that's what we were getting to. I was getting a Fast and the Furious vibe from her bike buddies. And I'm like, yeah,
yes!
Just round up your bike buddies. Let's get on the boat and go. I like this cast. And then you just never see him again.
Yeah.
So that was just, it was just a really weird choice. It's like, oh, I felt like, okay, they're cutting it down so they can tell a more, you know, succinct story, but it doesn't. It gets really disjointed from then on out. Like you said, it's just two people on a boat. And then the only other characters that Laura gets to act across from is her father a little bit. And then bad guys, just all the bad guys who are not well written. So it's, I don't know. It's just odd. Like you said, linear is a good way to put it, that the tomb was just odd and ties back into my gripes about all the just exposition. Instead of her and her father geeking out together over his notes in the middle of trying to solve it, we just have Laura get to work because we heard exposition, so she knows all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I just, it wasn't thrilling.
Well, exactly. And I think my problem with the design of the tomb is that it is so linear. And Laura, especially in the first game, like she gets captured all the time. She gets captured like 10 times and she's forced to kind of sneak and escape and all that kind of stuff. And
right.
And then do extraordinary things. And she has one escape in the movie. And then after that, it's just like she spends the whole rest of the second half of the movie just moving in a straight line through this tomb, doing what the villain tells her to do. And because the design of the tomb is literally like one big long hallway, she doesn't ever have the ability to like escape. And the thing that I always liked about Trinity as a kind of villain organization is that like they're very much, and they kind of alluded to it a little bit in this movie, but they're very much like, screw all this old fashioned crap. We're just going to blow it up, get what we need, get out. Like they aren't very much like solve the puzzles and work through the things.
Yeah, so they kind of brute force.
It would have been really cool.
They kind of brute force. Like they're the ones that should be moving linearly, and Laura at some point should outsmart them and take the path less traveled.
Exactly. Like, so I would have liked to see her like escape from the villain after opening the door somehow, and then have him and his cronies like blasting through walls while she and her father are like, and have it be a race of the brute force versus like the actual smarts of finding the path. Like that to me is Tomb Raider, is the race between good and bad, between like modern and ancient, and having that kind of dichotomy as they're both moving towards the same goal, with, you know, Lara wanting to protect humanity and Trinity wanting to exploit the mystical power of the world, which again, we're missing that mystical element, right? So yeah. It's like that whole tomb design to me was just wrong, because again, it took so long. It was literally like had to be at least 40 minutes of them working their way through the tomb and its puzzles with Lara, her dad, Goggins, and, or I should call him by his actual name, Vogel,
his Matthias. Character name,
working through with a couple of like unnamed Trinity cronies, which are this just there to basically show what happens when the trap goes horribly wrong.
Hey, so, someone's got to get hit by the spike trap, right?
Exactly.
You can't have Dr. Octopus from Raiders in every movie.
So it just like it felt like they missed the point of Tomb Raider in the tomb, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, two major ones for me. They missed the magic and they missed Lara one-upping everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, she still succeeds at the end, but it's not like, again, it's not creative.
And it's not satisfying, I think, because it didn't feel like, I don't know, there was no urgency to it, I guess. Which, when you have the race between Lara and Trinity, that adds to the excitement and the urgency, right? But when you're just doing things at gunpoint, it's like, well, sure, I can take my time. I don't really want you to get there anyways. Like, so it becomes kind of like slow and a little bit boring.
It was very strange.
I don't think that they missed the mark on absolutely everything, though, because I feel like, although there were some, I mean, you could basically like pick out the points from the video game, like some of the shot, like the plane at the top of the waterfall, for example, was like shot for shot from the video game.
There were like two big differences. One, that she was forced there by gunfire, which is basically the whole back half of this movie is Laura does something because there's a gun.
Yeah.
and the only other minor change they made was instead of cracking glass as she's slammed up against the cockpit, it's rusted metal breaking. That's it. And she hugs the parachute instead of puts it on. That's it.
Right.
Those are your three big differences.
But like they're very minor. But basically, like you could pull out like the almost like, oh, I remember doing that as Lara in the video game. I remember doing that as Lara in the video game. And you know, like being able to see, like I think I was able to pull them out because I'm a gamer, but I feel like other people watching it, like they didn't stick out like a sore thumb.
No.
So I thought that they still did a pretty good job of taking some aspects of video games and putting them into a movie.
Yeah.
To the point that they were recognizable if you've done it.
Right. It kind of like it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't terrible, but I had a very, like, the book was better experience watching this, but it was, the game was better. And I was going through, I'm like, yeah, that airplane sequence was cool, but I think it was cooler in the game. And that was, man, now you're making me think of other things that felt like they were missing. Because the game, the reboot in 2013, has this constant ebb and flow between Laura being by herself and stumbling back upon either enemies or her friends.
Right.
And that really never happened. She's always with somebody, with the exception of her first kill. which lasts all of, and we don't, that's like, that scene doesn't breathe enough, but I think it would have been cool if they were longer.
That's kind of my, because that is one of my big points that I liked from the movie, was I felt that her transition from what we saw in London, which is basically an heiress who doesn't want to be an heiress because she doesn't want to admit that her dad is dead, kind of like coming into her own. I am glad that they had a point where she actually like kills someone for the first time and she's a little bit traumatized by it. Like, it wasn't just like, yeah, I'm on the island, I'm Lara Croft, the killing machine. Pew, 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 pew. Like, it was very much like she struggled. It was a difficult fight. It was, you know, one-on-one, and she ends up, you know, like choking him out, drowning him basically. And it was really gritty. It was hard for her. And I think you could see the beginnings of what could have been like a little bit of like trauma on the actress's face. But then like, it was cut too short. I really wish that they had have let her like take a moment. And even if she had have like rolled over and had a good cry or something, like she just killed a man and they cut it short because she basically kills him, looks up and then sees someone else in the woods. And it turns out to be her father. But like, they don't give her any time to react. They just kind of say like, okay, she killed someone.
Moving on.
Yeah. And it just, they didn't give it the weight that I felt it needed. But it did also feel like while she was actually drowning him, like she was having some of those emotions while it was actually happening. I just wish that they'd let it have a little bit of more weight to it and kind of just took a moment to pause and be like, this is a big deal, guys. Like,
yeah, this movie just, it needed, it's odd because there are points, especially once the tomb starts, where I'm just like, this is going on too long. Why are we spending so much time here? But then there's others where it's like, oh my God, this is going way too fast. Like, what the hell? Like, the point where she picks up a bow and just like takes off to go murder people. I'm like, whoa, hold, when the hell did we get here? Like, can we slow down a minute? And it's just odd. And that was what I was getting at, where you made me think of the fact that in the game, there's a long stretches of just Lara. And I would have liked to see that in this movie, because Alicia, what's her last name? Vikander is an amazing actor. She was Ava in Ex Machina, which everyone, if you listen to this, you probably listen to some Scott Johnson shows. That man is obsessed with Mad Max Fury Road. That is me in Ex Machina. Like, one of the best movies I think I've ever seen. I love that movie to pieces. And she's amazing in that. Hell, she's an Oscar winner for The Danish Girl, which I haven't seen. But clearly, she can act her pants off. And I feel like this movie did a good job with Alicia, the action star. Not a great job with Alicia, the actor. Give me some, like, art house silent film where it's just her alone in the elements, like trying to survive. I wanted more of that because I feel like Alicia really could pull it off.
And yeah, she I think did a fantastic job. She really, a lesser actress would have absolutely killed this movie for me. Like, I would have come in here instead of a meh, it would have been like, this movie is terrible. she really pulled it out. She did it. She was great. And I think she also did most of her own stunts, right?
Yes. Yeah. She, a lot of quotes from her about how much she worked out for this. She did most of her own stunts. The opening fight scene, I'm like, oh my God, those abs, I'm going to die and never have abs half that awesome. Like, like, Jesus. Like, she just looked like someone that would get into like a UFC fight and rip someone in half. And I love that. Like, it's been my issue, like, but one of my like nitpicks with Wonder Woman, I'm like, she looks, you shoot her like a model, I want her shot like a brutal cage fighter.
Yeah.
But beyond that, that's, you know, it's neither here nor there, but I'm in the same boat. Like, I really like Alicia Vikander's Lara Croft. It's everything else. It reminds me of Justice League. It's like, I really like Ben Affleck's Batman, but it's everything all the scenarios they put him in, I'm just like, I don't care. I don't need to see this. This isn't a story that needed to be told.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I left Tomb Raider, being like, I want to see more of Alicia Vikander as this character, but they've already removed magic, and the first tomb we saw was boring. So I'm not ecstatic about returning to this world.
Yeah, which is really unfortunate, because it's the kind of movie that I feel like the second movie would be better.
Oh yeah.
And so I don't know. But that being said, the second game had the Trinity reveal. We've already had that. Like,
yeah, but they reveal that.
I just don't know how I feel having about this literally whole just fired, reboot.
I was going to say, having just fired up the second game yesterday, I mean, the Trinity reveal is in exposition in the very beginning of the game.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a big point of the game itself. It's kind of like, this is who they are. You know who they are? Cool. Onward to a snowy mountain where Trinity is trying to beat you to an artifact.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Maybe I just have like rose-colored nostalgia glasses on when I think about that game. but yeah, like, I don't know. I guess I would like to see what they do with the sequel, because I agree, Alicia made a fantastic Lara, so more of that. I also liked Daniel Wu's character, like, but again, I feel like they set him up and gave him an origin and then kind of just dropped him like a hot potato halfway through the movie. Like,
yeah, he just,
he had this super cool character with, you know, and they had something in common in that their fathers went off together to find this island and both died, air quotes. And then we find out that, okay, Lara's father's not actually dead, but then, oh, just kidding, he's going to die at the end anyway, so who gives a fuck anyways? And then, like, we've got, Daniel's like, oh yeah, the slaves told me he's dead. Like, and that was like the end of Daniel's character doing anything.
Yeah, it's just,
it was like, oh, my story ends here. Okay, thanks, bye.
It was very strange, because I like the character too. When she first finds him on the boat and he's pointing a shotgun at her and he just passes out from,
and he's so drunk, he just alcohol poisoning, falls off the railing. Oh my God.
Yeah. And I'm like, sweet, I'm in. They've already sold me on this character. And then, like, I was already sold, and he has how much is in the other boot. Like, that's a great line. That's a wonderful yes. line. Where was this writing for Walton Goggins? What is wrong with you people?
But yeah, like, he's got this super cool character who's struggling with his father, so he and Lara can kind of bond over that. And then you've also got, like, he's just this drunken kind of poker player who's, you're not really sure if he's kind of a good guy or a bad guy. You're really on the fence about him. And he's not even helping Lara because he wants to find his father. He's helping Lara to pay off his debts. Like, he's a very, like, gray character where you're not quite sure which side he's going to fall on. And then, like, very quickly, you're like, okay, he's going to be this great ally for her. And he does do a couple of things once they're on the island, but his role is not what I would have wanted it to be. Like, because you said, like, she runs into her friends so often in the first game that it kind of would have been nice if she had more allies somehow. I don't know, it wasn't what I needed it to be, I guess.
yeah, it's, again, it's just, I don't understand why they went in certain, they stayed so close to it in some regards and veered so far away from what I thought were kind of key plot points in others.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's,
yeah, the whole removal of magic, it makes me very, very cautious for anything else going forward, because that's like the whole point of Tomb Raider is, yeah, like, oh, by the way, magic is actually real.
It was probably like, my favorite thing about the reboot was throughout the whole game, it's just like, it's not magic, it's not magic, it's not magic.
Right.
You get to the end and it's like, F you, it's magic.
Yeah. And that was like a huge turning point for Lara as a character, right? Because like, she was a scientist, she was a researcher, she was very like modern and like analytical, and of course it's not magic, of course it's not magic, like all of these things where they say it's magic, it's just because they didn't understand the science. And then this huge character beat happens at the end where it's like, no, it actually is magic. And she's like, what? Okay, I guess I need to totally adjust my worldview. And it's a huge character development point. And now it's just like, nope, it's literally just science. Lara was just right the whole time. And it's, I don't know, makes her character arc so weird.
Yeah, like, I'm not really, I guess at the end it's, I mean, she comes to her own, she's proved herself as like, as the, you know, ass kicking archaeologist, and it has come to terms with her father's death, although he actually died this time. So yeah, again, I'm like, what is the moral of this story? I don't know. Don't put your evil aunt in charge of your business, I guess is the moral of this story. But yeah, I mean, that's the push and pull, right? Like, I'm not sure how much I want something to be the same as what it's based off and how much I want it to be different. I'm kind of fine in either direction as long as it's good, right? Like, it's the,
yeah,
the, I'm adding nothing of value to the universe by saying I want things to be good, but I mean, that's like, I'm assuming we're gonna have this conversation again with Ready Player One, because by the looks of it, they're changing a lot from the core like narrative, while staying relatively the same. And it makes me think of Jurassic Park. I mean, it's a Steven Spielberg movie, right? And Jurassic Park is an example of something that is wildly different from the book. I have read the book. I have watched the movie. I love them both equally.
For different reasons.
And but they're completely different. Yeah. Pretty much the same reasons. I like science, horror, and dinosaurs, which is the same reason I love both of them. But
you're right. Yeah, those two stories are very different. Well, you know, staying in the same sort of vein, but they tell two different stories almost in the same universe.
Yeah,
is the best way I can put it. And you're right, those, you did very good jobs, and I feel like they just dropped the ball on this movie a little bit. But at the same time, and I know we've spent a lot of time talking about the things that we didn't necessarily like and the choices that we didn't want them to make, overall I was entertained, at least for the first 2 hours. So, I mean, again, like, it was a perfectly fine movie. I feel like if I hadn't played the video game, I might have enjoyed it some more. I'm not quite sure, because it's kind of hard to tell. It's like saying, if you haven't read the book, maybe you'll like the movie better because you don't know all the things that they're changing and dropping out. So it was still entertaining, and I think Alicia was a better Tomb Raider than Angelina Jolie. No offense to her, but I think she is a modern take on the character, and I think it's more in line with the modern take on the character from the two new video games. So they did a good job. It's decently entertaining, but it's definitely not like mind-blowingly awesome.
Right. Yeah, it's just extremely average, I think is what I would put it.
Yeah,
and
for me, average,
it's, I think. For me, it's like so skewed down the middle of quality in the beginning, and I would have been fine going home once the tomb started. That's kind of how I felt. I mean, I also went and saw it alone because reviews came out, and Katie's like, I don't need to see it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to a movie by myself for the first time. And I think maybe Peter Jackson's King Kong was the last time I saw a movie by myself. So it's been a while. I was just kind of sitting there with three other people in a afternoon showing of this movie, being like, the beginning was different and I liked it, the end was pretty similar but still different and I didn't like it, and that's kind of where I ran it on. It's just, I don't understand why we can't get video game movies right. It's like, just write a good script. Is that hard? Yep. Which of course leads to the discussion we have to have, because we haven't had in a while. Jocelyn, where do you fall on video games overall? This is apparently...
On video games overall? I'm sorry, video game movies?
Sorry, video game movies. This is apparently the highest review, highest rated via like Rotten Tomatoes video game movie of all time.
Well, and I mean, to be fair, when you look at like book adaptations or like brand new ideas, like there aren't that many direct video game movies, you know? Like, I mean, there's kind of the Silent Hill movies, which I actually haven't seen because I played the Silent Hill video game when I was like 12 and it scared the shit out of me and I couldn't make it more than like 20 minutes into the game. So I'm not really invested in that very, very scary franchise. And then Resident Evil. But I like the Resident Evil movies. I think they're fun and they're horror and they're action packed. And what's her name?
Mila Jovovich.
Yes. She does a fantastic job. I really like her. I think she's a great action star. So I like the Resident Evil ones.
I like the first Resident Evil movie. After that, I'm out.
I think I've seen 2, maybe 3 Resident Evil movies. I'm definitely not like all the way caught up on the Resident Evil franchise. But then obviously we've already talked about the Warcraft movie, and my feelings on that are basically I liked it more than the reviews indicate. I think it was a much better movie than the reviews indicate. I think they were hard on it because it was a video game movie. And when you have a company as big as Blizzard that makes so much money, that has such a huge fan base, it probably should have done better. So, but again, I think they told the wrong story. I think that if they had led with the Arthas story, then I think that it would have done a lot better. And I still hope we get the Arthas story because I think that's just so much more interesting.
not going to hear any protests here.
Exactly. And then, but I think in terms of video game movies, that's pretty much the extent of what I've seen, unless I'm like missing some big glaring franchise. So I'm kind of like, they're generally okay.
I think they're pretty
much. Yeah, they do. They often miss the mark.
Yeah, I think they're universally skippable. I don't think there's a single movie based on a video game that is much must watch. There's none that I would go out of my way to recommend to anyone. Maybe the first Silent Hill. I legitimately enjoy the first Silent Hill, even though critics apparently do not agree with me. But that's it.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, again, critics generally, when they hear video game movie or even a lot of the times horror, which most of the video game movies that have been adapted have been horror, right? So I think when they hear horror and they hear video games, they're a little bit quicker to dismiss them, as opposed to like if Warcraft was just branded as a fantasy movie and didn't have all the Blizzard baggage, maybe it would have been better reviewed. I don't know. But it seems to me like there's just this stigma when it comes to video game movies that, yeah, critics rate them so much harder because they're like, video games are lame. This gets a 1 out of 10.
But I do think the movies are lame. Like, I think these movies bring it upon themselves. They could do better. They could do better. I don't know. Like for me, like if I had to think about like what I think the best video game movies are, like I think this is up there. I think it's this. I think it's Warcraft, and I think it's maybe the Prince of Persia movie. But I think they're all equally skippable. Like I don't think you have to see them. I think you'd be totally fine if you just never saw these movies.
Well, and I wonder, too, if that going back to the point I made near the beginning of the episode, just talking about like how much time they have to tell a story, how much story is in a lot of these universes, especially Warcraft, like the Warcraft universe is ginormous. So with the amount of stuff that you have to work from and the amount of time that we as gamers spend in these games and familiarizing ourselves with those worlds, I think we also have really high expectations. I'm saying all of this with, you know, Marvel in mind as well, you know, because I feel like Marvel is the one that kind of got it right, that took a giant universe and did something good with it. And I'm hoping out there somewhere there is someone working on a video game universe movie on the level of Marvel. Like, I hope people are learning from that because I think the Warcraft universe could have been that if they didn't do the kind of crappy movie that they did.
Yeah.
But, you know, like if I want to see someone, oh, like StarCraft would be a great one, too. Like the Sarah Kerrigan story or something.
Yeah, just stop before
to Iron Man.
Yeah, just stop before Legacy of the Void. Just stop before that. Just end at Heart of the Swarm.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, like I think that there are some good video game franchises that would make good movies and would make good kind of universes in this, like cinematic universes. I think that there's potential there, but
yeah, I think Warcraft could have been great. I think Mortal Kombat could still be great. That is one comic book ass universe to exist within. Actually, I love the 95 Mortal Kombat, but again, it's like, I don't think you have to see it, but I love it deeply, like on a deep personal level. I love the original Mortal Kombat. Annihilation is one of the worst movies I've ever seen, but also fun as hell because it's so bad.
See, and that's what I don't want from video game movies. I don't want them to be like so good because they're so bad. I want them to be so good because they're the Black Panther of video game movies. You know, like I want them to be awesome and exciting and big budgets and visually well done and a good story told with some epic writing, like not jumping all over the place, making weird changes, doing things and not fully explaining them and telling not the greatest story to begin with. Like start off with a good character in a solid story arc and entertain me.
Are you not entertained? Well, I mean, kinda.
Yeah, like, I'm moderately entertained.
I'm moderately entertained, exactly. Are you not entertained?
And yeah, kind of.
And the Joaquin Phoenix just, he just keeps his thumb in the middle. He never goes up or down, because that's how I feel about a lot of video game movies. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, so that's, you know, that was long-winded. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so that's fun.
I am kind of looking forward to Ready Player One, though, which is going to be our April movie that we're covering in addition to the one voted by patrons. But I'm looking forward to Ready Player One because I feel like Ready Player One is like, it's based in a video game universe as opposed to like trying to tell the story of a video game.
Right. And that's where I think currently the highest quality video game adjacent films are. Because there's some video game, there's some films that are clearly very inspired or take place in a video game-esque world very deeply. Like my favorite, like if you ask me what my favorite video game movie is, my answer would be Scott Pilgrim.
Because, and then there's Tron too, which like, so where that's kind of, I would say even in between, like it takes place kind of in a video game. So it's not necessarily like video game adjacent, but it's also not an adaptation of an actual video game. Right.
So right.
It's kind of in between those two things, but I think Tron was pretty decent too.
Yeah. I am actually a huge fan of, the modern Tron. I guess it was technically a sequel. Yeah, I really like the Tron sequel. I have tried to sit through the original Tron. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I respect it for what it did, but I legitimately enjoyed the sequel, which again didn't get great reviews. Never going to see a sequel, even though they clearly were setting it up for to be a universe, which really disappoints me because I had a lot of fun with that movie. You know, odd CG, de-aging process and all. It was fine. Didn't bother me. But for me, it's Scott Pilgrim. I'm really looking forward to Ready Player One as well. As I've mentioned, I just wrapped up reading the book. I went in ready to hate it because I'm like, there's just going to be a bunch of references for reference sake. And I had such a good time reading it. I had a lot of fun with that book.
Yeah, I think Ready Player One, the book, has some interesting plot points. But I mean, it's definitely not an academic read.
Oh, no.
And there is a lot of fan service. It's not as bad as the second book from the same author, which I Armada. I read that this summer, and it's terrible.
All right. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. Well, and the biggest thing I noticed in Armada, other than like the way that the whole plot went, but it's like Ready Player One to me had like a reference that was geeky to make a point. Whereas Armada was like, okay, I'm trying to make a point, so I'm going to use 16 video game or 16 sci-fi references. Let me know when I've hit one that you know. Like it, just, and so it was like, oh, it was like Star Wars or this thing or this thing or this thing or this thing, and I'm like, nobody talks like that.
Yeah, there were only I think maybe three separate occasions while reading Ready Player One where I had that exact reaction, which is no one talks like that.
Yeah. It's
basically unironic use of the word noob in casual conversation.
Yeah.
That is something that just drives me bananas. But beyond that, I really enjoyed it. I don't get the, and this is cannibalizing, I guess, a bit of the Ready Player One discussion, but I'm assuming once I get out of that movie, there's going to be too much to talk about the meta conversation. But I don't get the, I've seen so much hate towards Ready Player One recently, and it's all about, like that it's a, I don't know, a cheap cash in on your nostalgia. I'm just like, that's the point? That's the entire point of it? It's like being mad at Star Wars because there's war in the stars? Like,
and the thing that I find hilarious is that like everyone I find now, like it's just a whole bunch of like geeky hipsters. Because like I feel like everyone now who's like just totally crapping on Ready Player One are the same people who 5 years ago told me to read it. But now it's like mainstream being made into a movie and they're like, it's such fan service, I hate it. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, it feels very much like when I got into punk music in the early 2000s that everyone's like, oh, that band's not cool anymore because they're on MTV2 University Edition. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's, you can't even get that channel. How do you even know that channel exists? Like so it's I just get so annoyed with it. I don't know. I mean, it's fine if you like something and I don't like something and vice versa. Like clearly I just spent most of this crapping on Tomb Raider and I'm sure someone out there really enjoyed it. But it's just that particular logic just irks me.
Yeah. Like now it's popular, so now I don't like it.
Right. I don't know. I don't get it. Like it was to me it was just fun. I enjoyed it in a very similar way that I enjoy wrestling. I don't expect it to be the next Shakespeare. But I'm gonna pump my fists, eat some fried chips of the potato variety, and have a good time. So
yeah, and that's kind of what I'm expecting out of Ready Player One, and I think that those kind of video game adjacent movies have been the best representation of us as like a little subculture of gamers. I think the direct video game adaptations haven't been so great, but I think, like, you're right, Scott Pilgrim was really good, and I'm cautiously optimistic about Ready Player One, but I also don't expect Ready Player One to be exactly like the book. So I'm kind of hoping they Jurassic Park it, to be honest.
Yeah, and it is Spielberg, so that's why I'm hopeful. Because yeah. I was watching the trailer, I'm like, oh man, it appears you are moving out of order in the story, and I'm like, well, you know what? That actually might work. And I have minor gripes with characters in the book, so maybe reorganizing where they enter the story might actually fix some of those.
Plus, it's a trailer, so you never really know, right?
Yep.
They could be specifically trying to mislead you. But I hate trailers. I've been trying to avoid them as much as possible. But Ready Player One was on the beginning of Tomb Raider, so unfortunately, I did see the most recent Ready Player One. I also saw the most recent Infinity Wars trailer at the beginning of Tomb Raider. And I've got to say, like, I wish the trailers weren't a thing, because I used to love trailers at the beginning of movies, and now it's just like they basically tell you the whole story, and it's so, like, I feel like I'm just not going to go to a movie on time anymore because it just wrecks the experience of the movie. That being said, I was almost crying in the theater watching the trailer for Infinity Wars, so...
I haven't seen it yet. I don't avoid trailers. I also don't actively seek them out for the most part. Star Wars. If it's Star Wars... Like, anything, I'm there. Mm. Anything about Star Wars, I'm digesting it. I don't care. I just can't. I don't want anything spoiled, so I just spoil it for myself. but everything else, if it's on, I watch it. Otherwise, I move on. So I haven't seen the most recent one. But yeah, I'm just so ready for friggin' Infinity War. It's not even... I'm ready to cry. I know I'm going to cry. I said,
I was tearing up in the theater, and I was getting, like, goosebumps and, like, chills up my spine, and just from the trailer, like, oh man, I'm bringing Kleenex. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, captain, my captain. Yep. It's gonna be good. I just want to hang out with Chris Hemsworth in the Guardians of the Galaxy. I will come for that. I'm going to stay for Chris Evans reminding me why he made me fall in love with a character I used to think was the lamest thing ever.
I think he might die, Garrett.
I'm pretty sure he's going to die, Jocelyn. Yeah.
And I'm going to cry so hard because I love him so much.
He's such a good boy. He's such a good boy, Jocelyn. Just take a moment of pre-silence. We'll take a pre-moment of silence for a probably dead Cap. yeah. So anyways, Tomb Raider. It's a movie.
That is a true statement.
And if you want to write in, let us know your thoughts about this or any of the upcoming movies we'll be covering. Write in embracethespoilers@gmail.com. And again, you can support this show by going to patreon.com/ETS. $5 patrons can vote on movies we cover each month. $10 patrons can suggest what movies get voted on and then vote on them. So check it out, patreon.com/ETS. Before we go, Joss, you do all kinds of other stuff, and a big game is releasing today, as a matter of fact, that you also kind of do a podcast about. Where can people find that?
I do. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. And tomorrow night, I'm actually going to be playing a lot of Sea of Thieves. We canceled Raid and canceled another podcast that I normally do on Tuesday nights. I'm very, very excited. It's going to be so much pirating. So make sure, again, that's going to be on twitch.tv/JossPlays. Make sure you come and check that out. The podcast that I do about Sea of Thieves is called Shipwrecks and Shanties. You can go to gamersinpodcast.com to find links to that. I'm super, super excited, Garrett. Like, man, pirates, it's gonna be so good.
I had a lot of fun in the beta.
And the beta is only like a third of the content. I'm really ready.
I'm ready to swab the poop deck, Captain, if you need somebody.
Awesome.
I will be there with a bucket to bail you out of storm. Don't ask me to do the sales, though. I have no idea what I'm doing with the sales.
Okay, that's all right. I can handle the sales.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, folks, all the stuff I do can be found over at emu.tv. Plenty of stuff over there. Until the next episode, Heroes, Angry Chicken for Hearthstone, my solo show R2T2 for everything else I don't have time to talk about on game-specific shows. So go check that out. But we will be back next week to talk about Pacific Rim 2. Time to uncancel the apocalypse.